Irreverent. Entertaining. Cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.
And that you would be. And the last time I looked, I think I was Michael
Sterling. You're Michael Sterling. If you're not, you're an amazing facsimile. Yes. I'm not Michael Sterling, but I only want to be.
Really?
It's my goal.
You aspire to be that?
Yes.
Wow.
I aspire to be.
Low aspirations,
exactly.
My friend.
Exactly. How are you doing?
I'm good, Paul Sterling.
Good, good, good.
Yes, I am. It's nice to see you.
Nice to be back. Nice to be back after a little break.
I'm so excited about today's show.
I am too.
Right?
This is right up my alley,
it's
and I haven't seen
Italian.
It yet. You've seen it?
Yes, I have.
Are you saying that I've limited culture, that just because I happen to also be Italian that this would interest me, that I couldn't possibly be interested in French or Polish or anything?
Not
like
at
that?
All. Not at all. You said that. I didn't
I
say
know
that.
I did. I know I did. Thank our sponsors, would you?
I will.
Thank you.
We'd like to thank, ladies and gentlemen, our sponsor, Breakdown Services, the entertainment industry standard used around the world, providing the most professional means to reach talent agents as well as actors when casting a project. To learn more about Breakdown Services, visit BreakdownExpress.com.
We'd also like to acknowledge PerformingArtsLive.com, one of the Internet's most prominent listing sources for the live arts in Southern California. We're grateful to Performing Arts Live for lending their support to our live arts calendar.
And here's what we're talking about today, ladies and gentlemen. Cyrano. Meets the Sopranos.
No, Cyrano meets the Sopranos. We're already being corrected. This is not good.
I'd like to introduce you.
Cyrano meets the Sopranos. In this world premiere musical, Cyrano D'Angelo is a Renaissance man, a poet, a connoisseur of arts, and the enforcer for the Rio family, a Rio crime family. Rio, excuse me, crime family. Don Rio seeks...
Rio.
It's going to be one of those...
You're in for it.
Don Rio seeks...
That's why I gave this all to you, Michael.
Thank you so much, Paul. Yeah.
This is English. It would be harder if it was a foreign language.
Don Rio seeks Serrano's help in educating his nephew, Vinny, a handsome but foul-mouthed young mobster. The goal, to take the crude out of Vinny so he can seduce the beautiful and refined daughter of a judge who sits on a case involving the family.
Today we are joined by not only a member of the cast, but also the director of this acclaimed production, now playing in a limited engagement at the Matrix Theater in West Hollywood. Please welcome director Joel Zwick and actor Chad Dorick.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Nice to have you, gents.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Oh, we're pleased to be here.
Are you?
Be here. Yes.
Yes. Did you have any trouble parking, Chad?
No, I got a primo space right out front.
Did you?
Yeah.
Chad,
I have lucky parking karma.
Lucky parking karma. What he didn't pay attention to is the fact that it's a
one hour.
It's 1 hour. And we're going to be here for a little over an hour.
Oh,
so if he does, I went around the block to the 2 hour.
I took the bus here today, I'll have you know. I did. I took the bus, took the orange line from my house in Tarzana. People don't use it. It's great.
What
you
is
watch the orange line.
I'm in Tarzana. We could have carpooled.
We could have. I didn't know you were coming.
Well, you knew
Tarzana?
I was
do you know, of course I knew you were coming. Mort's Deli in Tarzana?
Of course I know Mort's Deli.
Bee's Bakery right next door. Best black and whites in the valley.
Not bad food. Mort's is an excellent deli, too.
Yes, and this from a Brooklynite.
You know it.
Is saying something.
You know it.
Yeah. No, Mort's is great. Have I ever taken you to Mort's?
No.
Oh, just phenomenal. Because I got to tell you, I went to Cantor's. Yeah. This was my week. It was delis.
Yeah.
I went to Cantor's yesterday and was heroically disappointed in the roast beef. Yeah.
No. Really?
Yeah. Much, much better at Mort's, I got to say. It was like quasi Arby's.
And how do those compare to Jerry's?
Jerry's is not a deli.
Jerry's is not a deli.
Arts holds up. Jerry's is not a deli.
Arts is phenomenal.
Arts holds up very well.
Very, very good. But Jerry's is...
Just chime in. And Chad, yeah, whenever you feel you want to discuss anything,
what
about delis
do you got?
I grew up near Orange County. So
we don't know about delis
deli
there.
Options.
We have it there. There's a deli there case was, at the pavilions.
Yeah, no.
We go there.
Actually, no, that's not true. You know, my mother's side of the family is Jewish, and there she worked at delis. The time she was growing up. And there was one really fantastic deli in Orange County called the Catella Deli. So
Catella Deli.
Yeah. Catella, and that's a street. Catella,
yeah, Catella, yes. Yeah, it's where the racetrack is. And there's a deli on the racetrack. Oh. Or near the racetrack, rather.
Yeah. You know who introduced us, you and I?
Who?
Julianna Hansen.
I love Julianna Hansen, yeah.
Long time
She's,
ago.
That was a long time ago.
Yeah, it was.
Boy. I haven't talked to Juliana in a long time.
She's right here. Juliana, come on in.
This is your life.
Yeah. We should be so lucky.
All right, Michael, I told you about my week with delis. You tell me about your week, and then we'll get to these two gentlemen here to talk about this Serrano, smash hit musical that's going on.
Believe me, it is. We hope it runs for many, many, many months. My week, busy with going to see their wonderful show over the weekend, and also LA's Next Great Stage Star, of course, is in week three. We just finished that, going into week four. This is a musical theater competition that I produce annually for 9 years.
Wow.
And we are finalists this year? Are you finalist again this year?
Every year.
We are proud of it, in particular, because so far we've put 11 of our contestants on Broadway.
Yeah.
And some of them are on their third and fourth shows. And about 88 contestants are working in U.S. national tours and on board
Unbelievable.
The great
You cruise should be proud lines. Of it. That's a remarkable record.
Yeah. All over the world. Disney is a great supporter. They put them in Tokyo and down here in the park in Disneyland. And
wonderful.
Yeah, it's very exciting. About 25 judges come through and...
Good to hear. So what week are you in? It's like a five-week run, right?
Going into 6 weeks. We're going into week four this Sunday.
Okay.
Yeah, so that's happening. And then I just had a major breakdown on my computer last night.
What?
Not my computer. Didn't really break down.
Had a breakdown?
You had a breakdown.
On top of your
Around your computer.
Oh, my computer breaks down. I have an emotional breakdown.
And the iYogi people didn't understand it.
The iYogi people?
That's my tech team.
iYogi?
Out of India.
You just made that up.
iYogi.
Okay.
No, seriously. true.
That's your tech support.
That's another story for another time.
Okay. I have a quick thing. It's not a review because I didn't go. Did I cut you off, Michael?
No, not at all.
This is a show that I saw this past week. I saw it 2 weeks ago, but I'm highly recommending it. This is at the Edgemar Center Theater. The Train to Zakopane, A True Story of Love and Hate. This is written by Henry Jaglom, great filmmaker, and starring Tana Frederick and Mike Falco. Just an astounding tale of experience that happened to his father in late 20s Poland, taking the train to Zakopane. As one would imagine, meeting this young woman in the rail car and falling, almost having a little sort of rendezvous type thing, but finding out halfway through the trip that she was this vehement anti-Semite, and he was a Jewish man. Mm-hmm. And the story of the two of them is just a great tale and highly recommended. I don't want to give too many details on it because it's such a wonderful journey to take, but I do want to call out, obviously, Tana and Mike Falco for great work, and also in a smaller role, but a very powerful scene, Jeff Ellum, great actor, but highly recommended.
And they were lovely when they were here.
Yes, they
promoting
did,
that
and
show.
I was really excited about seeing it and truly enjoyed it. So, Edgemar Center Theater on Main Street in Santa Monica, California.
Yeah.
Our first guest is best known in the film world for directing My Big Fat Greek Wedding, the highest grossing romantic comedy of all time. But theater is where he got his start. Directing at La Mama ETC, the iconic New York theater company, has launched the careers of some of the most famous people in the theater. He was nominated for a Tony for his production of Dance With Me, and today he's discussing his latest triumph, Serrano. Please welcome Joel Zwick.
Nice to have you, Joel.
So how you doing?
I'm doing great. I mean, this has been a 5-year odyssey with Serrano.
Really?
Madeline Sunshine, who was a friend of mine from New York. Her husband, Steve, was a student at Queens College when I was teaching theater at Queens College. And one day he said to me, he wrote a play, would I look at this play? And I thought it was terrific. And I helped him through a few stage reading of the play, met his wife, Maddie, that brought them out to California to write sitcoms. And they executive produced Webster, and they executive produced a few other things.
Oh, wow.
And one day Maddie calls me and says she's working on a musical. Would I be interested in looking at it? And of course, I'd look at it for her. And she presented me with a 160-page script. 160 pages of script with 48 songs.
So it's a funny opera.
It was really a little unwieldy. But over the years, and Chad, who's here, much to my chagrin, he's here.
I don't think you should say chagrin either.
Basically, he's the only member of this current company who has done any workshops of this show before. Else is brand new.
From the very beginning?
I don't think Chad was there from the very beginning.
They didn't hire me the first time. I auditioned.
You actually auditioned and we didn't hire you?
That's right. Boy,
are we stupid. My heavens, what a dumb choice. But we went through, I think, two Vinnies before Chad showed up. And he's been
They met with accidents, right? Those two Vinnies?
They no longer work in the business due to, loss of eyesight. One guy doesn't have a leg anymore. But the fact is, we got Chad here. And it's just been just a thrill because my heart and my soul stays in the theater. The rest of it is income, and it's really great to have income, and it's great to be working and all those things. But musical theater, it's just terrific, and I'm having a ball with this thing. I don't even remember that I directed it, to be quite honest. I sit there in the theater, and I look at this opus that's going on that just is so full of talent and so full of music and so full of funny, and I keep thinking to myself, well, I suppose I have something to do with all this, but I can't quite tell, And because of it, I'm having a wonderful time going there. I don't feel any angst about it. I've empowered the actors to take over the show, and by golly, they've taken over the show and have done it in a remarkably short time.
And I was saying to Joel earlier, we were sitting right across from each other on the aisle, and
at the show?
Watching him watch his show was a show in itself.
because he is
everything he just said.
Well, it's your kid up. You're a director. It's your child up there.
And
it's a matter of letting the child just run.
And being able to release the child to be the best the child can be without you constantly sitting over it saying, that wasn't the best you could be. And because in the final analysis, that's not going to produce the best product. And that's just a gamble I've taken my whole career. I've just assumed that the right process will produce the best end result. And if I trust to the process and the growth of the process, it has happened for me more often than not, that the best result comes from that. So I don't dictate and I don't, there's no oracles from above saying it must be done this way or that way. Although I'm sure Chad will say I have an attitude that I can bring to it where if I'm not getting exactly what I want, I could be unhappy. Is that possible, Chad?
Well,
you just got fired. Be careful what you're saying. I've got two others who played the role.
We've got two guys. We'll bring the seeing eye dog on stage.
No
He'll be
problem.
Fine.
No problem.
The great thing about Joel being in the audience is that he's our biggest fan. And it doesn't feel like, you said you watched him watch the show, and he says he watches it like a fan every night, and it's true. We feel his love in the audience, and he laughs louder than anybody else, believe me. But it's not laughing at his own jokes. He's genuinely enjoying his experience in the theater, which is a really nice, thing to experience with the director.
Because there can be some, I work for directors where the last thing in the world you want to hear is that they're in the audience.
Well, I must say that the creative team that you put together, that's been put together for this show is astounding, and they're all amazing.
No,
Peggy
in when we decided that we had to upgrade the quality of the work by bringing in a choreographer.
Because Joel was the choreographer
until that point. And it was minimalistic choreography because there was no time to do much else. But all of a sudden, time got created for a real choreographer. And just as luck would have it, Peggy was in between assignments, and she was willing to do this. I don't know what. Sure, why she made that choice herself, but we developed a fairly good symbiotic relationship. It took a while, and primarily because of me, not because of her. She knew the creative process working with a director. I did not know the creative process working with a choreographer because I'd never had a choreographer.
Really?
I had done all my choreography myself. My Tony nomination for Dance With Me is as a choreographer.
Really?
Not as a director. I got a drama desk for a director, but that was also staging actors and trying to create physical movements that were funny. I like to be funny. I laugh. I'm a funny guy. And little by little, I managed to wangle a little bit of Peggy's very specific work and made it funny.
Well, also she has done so beautifully is she's taken the whole cast and put them in dance numbers. And those who dance clearly dance. And those who dance kind of, sort of, or are movers look like they're dancers.
Yeah, no, actually.
And you really... there's no distractions, believe me.
That's the mark of a good choreographer. You could do that. Joel, can you, because we're familiar with it, but some of the listeners might not be, can you give sort of a little bit of a synopsis of Serrano and what it is? Michael sort of alluded to it, but do you want to, or would you prefer not to?
I'll give a shot at it. Right. Serrano is basically, it's the telling of Cyrano de Bergerac, the Rostand play, in musical terms, where we place Cyrano de Bergerac in Little Italy, and we don't even create period for it. We call it the Little Italy of our imagination, because I'm not so sure that anybody looking at it could simply say it's of a period or not, because I was trying desperately not to have that happen. I wanted it to be a universal telling of a story, and not particularly in a period, but in a location.
You achieved that, I assume.
So basically, we have our Serrano, who is Cyrano de Bergerac, who has the same problem as he did. He's got a big nose, and he considers himself to be pretty ugly, and he's madly in love with our Rosanna, and he's been ever since they were children together, but he stumbles all over himself every time he sees her, because it's just he gets nonplussed by the whole event. And then his boss, Don Rayo, calls him in and says, listen, you got to help me out. I got to help the capo di tutti di capo. Was that even close?
Tata di coop. Tata di coop. I can't say it. You put in one too many.
I got too many capo di capo.
Too early in the day.
Capo di
tutti.
Capo di tutti. And basically, he's in trouble with some kind of investigation, and he's trying to get the judge to recuse himself, because if he can get this judge to recuse himself, he owns the rest of the judges. And the problem with this judge is that it happens to be Rosanna's father. So the key is, he figures if he can get headway with Rosanna, he might get sway with the judge and get out of this racketeering charge. And the only way to do that is to have his nephew, Vinny Pepperini, played by Chad Dorick, right over here to my
Vinny
left.
Vinny Pepperini. Of the Southampton Pepperinis,
of the
right?
Pepperini, obviously a man of great education, and to basically come in and try to make it with Rosanna, therefore he gets away with the judge. So Serrano is given the horrendous job of training this yokel to become enough of a gentleman, because that's who Rosanna wants. He wants Rosanna. If he's going to have to give up Rosanna to anybody, he wants it to be a gentleman and not this uncouth slob that shows up. So that's basically the story. It's the same story, but it's the thing that we've turned it into that makes me happiest is not only is it a romance between Serrano and Rosanna, because eventually, you know, at the end they have to wind up together, but it's a bromance between Vinny and Serrano, as little by little these two extreme opposites start to find common ground in terms of who they are, what they're about, and what they want to be about. And I think that's been the happiest evolution of this piece this time around. I finally have two guys in Chad and in Tim Gleason who find that. And let me tell you, they found that. If you were to sit there and say, did you direct that? I'd say, well, I don't think I directed that. I think they found that. But what I did was I let it happen. I sat there and I said, ooh, 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 I like this. Stay out of the way, Zwick. Don't get involved with this one.
Because that's not you don't see that happening with Christian and Cyrano.
Absolutely not.
And
we don't kill people either. It's a musical comedy, so we can't kill people. But essentially, no, you don't see that. So
is that the law of musical comedy? You can't kill people.
Can't kill people. Although that little thing at West Side Story, where virtually everybody is decimated at the end of the show, so I'm not quite sure I'm right about that. But essentially,
well, that's not a musical comedy.
That's not a musical comedy.
The production that I saw.
Some of them can be pretty funny. But, you know, so my allowing actors to find a humanity that made sense to them and to stay out of the way when I saw it emerging. And then little by little, maybe a little tweak here, a little tweak there, suggestion. Right. But basically, they found that. They found that, and I love that, you know.
And allowing it to happen and not commenting on it is as important as directing them to get there. I don't know who said it, but someone once said, the great painters were the ones who knew when to stop.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
And that's the thing, and just taking that step back and allowing it to happen. But like you said, handing it over to the actors and letting them find their own places and journeys and not micromanaging everything is how you get results like that.
And you get it, because the fact is, I can't – the infinite – number of moments that have to be made in a two-hour production. Yeah. If you were trying to micromanage that, you don't have a chance at that. Yeah. You just don't. The amount of information that each actor has in their own repertoire in terms of their backgrounds, what they do, what they don't do, what they think, what they don't think, that's their intangible. That's the reason why if I did anything really well, I cast it beautifully.
You certainly did. True.
Wow. Yeah. This cast did. Just knocks you out. There's no reason that these 12 people should be on a stage in a 99-seat waiver theater doing Serrano, except maybe because of Peggy Hickey, maybe because of me, certainly because of the book and music. And all of a sudden, this talent pool showed up for auditions, made a few good choices. And that's what blows my mind out. I just look at that and go, wow.
Well, it's a testament to your good taste in what you put together and all of these players that you've put together, both on the creative side and on the stage, quite frankly. You know, I was thrilled to see Miss Petrella, Suzanne Petrella, in the role that she's playing because she started in L.A.'s Next Great Stage Star.
Oh, how cool
that's what
is
launched
that?
Her career. Michael Donovan was one of our judges that year, and he put her right into Mask at the Pasadena Playhouse.
I love it.
And that was the beginning. She's been on our show, and you remember
Tim
Martin Gleason.
Yeah, from
well,
the Disney thing.
From the Disney
that you
show.
Did, yeah, at UCLA.
And, of course, he's from a Broadway boy, so, you know, he's got a whole different thing going on. But man, he's great in this show.
He is. So, and, you know, Suzanne is so great, too. She is funny.
Yes, she
who
is.
Who knew, you know, I cast her because she could sing well, she was attractive enough, and I was trying to get a feel of a little bit of youth in that company. I wanted Serrano, Rosanna, and Chad, Vinny, to be feeling like they were younger people, certainly in their early 30s as opposed to in their 40s, right, which we've tried in other incarnations, and it just, you lose that love story gets washed away if it's too old.
Right,
here it's
right.
Palpable.
There's a buoyancy,
There's
right.
a palpability to what's going on that's also beyond me. I take a look at it and I go, wow. How cool is that? And it was all about the casting. It had nothing to do with directing.
Yeah. Well, except for the fact that the director picks the cast.
Picks the cast. Other than that, no.
Before I will put this information out there a couple of times before the end of the hour, but this is at the Matrix. This is Serrano the Musical. I want to spell the title so that when people go to the website, they will know. It's Serrano. That is the website is serranothemusical.com, and this is playing at the Matrix Theater, which is 7657 Melrose Avenue in West Hollywood. Performances Thursday, Friday, Saturdays at 8, Sundays at 3. Tickets are $35, $20. It astounds me the ticket prices in this town, what good theater you could see at such a low cost.
Well, this is beyond good. This is a great theater at this
and
price.
See it now when you can before, because you know it's going to just blossom and continue to grow, and you're never going to get to see it for $35 again. 323-960-7774 and serranothemusical.com. And once again, we will throw that out there again. Joel, I didn't want to cut you off. I just want to love to get that information out there as frequently
certainly. Did
as
your
possible.
Producing team have any say-so with you on the casting? Did you have to run things by them?
Oh, yes, for sure. Yeah. I mean, people were there.
That would be Chad laughing.
No,
that would be Chad.
I mean, if you knew the producing team, it's not that they aren't – it's not that they are a forceful or, you know, people like that. They just have a lot to say.
They talk a lot. and, you know, something their input is worth an enormous amount to me as long as they agree with me. once they cease to agree with me, then all of a sudden. No, this is a family project.
Yes.
We've been together on this thing for 4 or 5 years, and Maddie knows and Steve knows that if I have my belief in somebody, that I think that's the way we should go, because I think Maddie was not particularly enthused about Suzanne initially.
Oh, really?
She wasn't. She didn't know what she thought, and I kept saying, no, you're going to have to trust me on this one. I'm feeling something here. This is going to age down. She's going to be funny. She's going to be charming. She certainly can sing. I said, I'm going with her. And they finally all just went and said, yes, go with her.
Right.
You know, but there was some...
And obviously proved to be right.
Oh, yeah. Big time. Yeah. Big time.
Yeah. And this young lady, on the night that I saw it, which was the second opening night...
Of the foot.
...had broken her toe. And Joel got up and gave this very, very...
I thought you were going to say Joel got up and performed the role.
Yes, well, I did. Yeah.
He threatens to do that.
Every once in a while.
No, he gave a very charming and very amusing, little dissertation about it, because he did want to explain why we would be seeing part of her foot in a soft cast. So it's certainly that, what you said, took absolutely nothing away from her performance whatsoever.
Remarkable, remarkable.
You never looked at her foot,
that's a pro,
frankly.
That's a pro, you know. Doesn't matter how old you are. A pro is a pro is a pro.
And I was actually claiming it because I thought that the costume designer needed to have people understand that it wasn't Rosanna, the character, who had broken her foot. It was the actress Suzanne who had broken her foot.
Oh, yeah, because you have a broken foot in a show about the mob, and there's a whole different meaning attached to it.
You can start to add things to it that are not supposed to be added to it.
That's hysterical.
My.
Michael, let's do our arts calendar, and then and then we'll come back and continue with Joel, and also chat with Chad as well, obviously.
Absolutely. Chris Lemon, son of Hollywood legend Jack Lemon, some like it hot.
I'm also involved with that show. I love that show. Go see that show. Chris Lemon is insanely capable. You think you're watching his father on stage. You really
do. This is what I hear.
And he does a brilliant Walter Matthau, and he does an enormous amount of things. He plays piano because that was his big key. I'm sorry, I'm doing the promo for you.
It's okay. All right,
I love this show.
This.
I was involved. I'm not reading your nonsense. You can do the own nonsense. But I've been involved with Chris for a long time, and I introduced Chris to Hershey Felder. And Hershey Felder and Chris got together, and they decided they were going to do this one-man show on Jack Lemmon, which Chris had been doing in kind of a cabaret kind of feel. He'd just been telling stories.
Yeah.
Hershey formalized it, wrote it, got specific with it, and I think they've got a success on their hands.
Fantastic. We should have him on the show.
We should get Chris on.
We should.
Absolutely.
Definitely have him on.
Well, I will just continue a little bit and add to what Joel just said. But it presents an immensely personal and ultimately heartwarming story about Chris's father and their enduring relationship. Written and directed, as Joel said, by Hershey Felder and performed by Chris as his father, Jack Lemmon, returns in a one-man show that captures the magic of a bygone era when Marilyn Monroe, Gregory Peck, James Cagney, Jimmy Stewart, and Shirley MacLaine were but a handful of the many stars who would pass through the Lemmons' Hollywood Hills home. Performed in a musical story telling style that includes George and Ira Gershwin's Love Is Here to Stay and It's Wonderful, Jack Lemmon Returns is a loving tribute to a world-famous dad told with great respect and dignity.
And this is at the Broad stage.
Is that correct? In Santa Monica. Beautiful theater.
Yes. Opening this weekend at the Stone Malone Gallery, City, a solo exhibition featuring all new work by Edzi, a.k.a. Pasty White. It showcases Edzi's art techniques, which are primarily derived from pop and contemporary art genres. His cityscapes are unique visions and extension of his urban environments, drawing inspiration from the places Edzi has lived and worked in, like New York City, Chicago, and currently Los Angeles. He does not adhere to one particular style or medium and has made several series of works which use found objects, found images, repurposed materials. For the past several years, he has been an active participant in the uncommissioned public art of the Los Angeles street art movement under his nom de guerre, Pasty White. The opening reception of City is this Saturday, and the exhibit runs through Sunday, February 1st at the Stone Malone Gallery. That's 7619 Melrose in Los Angeles. More information at edziart.com as well as stonemalonegallery.com. I love this artist. I followed his work for years. He does great stuff. Monica and I have a couple of his originals and cannot push this enough.
That's about a block away from our theater.
Yes, I was just going
to
say.
They can go to the
gallery, have a glass of wine, and then catch some theater.
I noticed there's a little restaurant around the street from your theater. What's
Michelle Richard.
Yes, of
Maison
course.
Maison Richard.
Right?
Maison Richard.
Because wasn't he originally a pastry chef?
It still has a huge pastry department in that store.
Yeah.
But we lucked out to have that come around the corner from the theater.
You know, it's like you always say, Paul, you know. But,
that's one of the areas in town. Park once, and you can do all of
and
these
then
different
get some
things.
Stuff done,
and
that's
and
right.
LA is not a city for that. So when you do have a place where you
and
can
you should
do
come
that.
Early because parking is a little challenging out in that area, but you can find it.
But that's why you come, that's why you do the restaurant, do the valet. They'll keep your car the whole time.
That's
right. That's what I do. Michael, would you introduce the incredibly homely gentleman to my right?
I will. Our next guest, ladies and gentlemen, is a Southern California native and first realized that he wanted to sing skipped a verse singing in church and was leading the congregation when the entire church followed his error. He knew he had found his calling. TV and film roles include NYPD Blue, The Pretender, and even a stint as the iconic Greg Brady. You also may remember him as a finalist on Grease, You're the One That I Want on NBC. But today we're talking Serrano, the hit musical currently playing at the Matrix Theater, creating the role of Vinny. Please welcome Chad Dore. Yeah, baby.
Okay, hello. So Chad, you chortled a little on your intro.
Yikes! Yeah,
but this stuff is out on the internet.
Yeah, I know,
man.
It's on the internet. That's so funny.
Everything's true.
Tell us that story. What happened?
So I was, I don't know, probably 7 years old, and I had a great choir teacher, Steve Ordonez, at St. Maria Goretti Catholic School.
And, I went to St. Maria Goretti.
You're kidding.
Yes,
I dated St. Maria Goretti. What are the odds?
And he's not kidding.
yeah, in Long Beach.
Wow.
That's wild.
Yes, it is.
So I was singing in the choir, and he chose me as a soloist, and I was singing the Our Father, and it was a call and repeat, and I skipped an entire section of the Our Father, which everybody knows, and the whole congregation didn't do what they know, like the back of their hand.
Right.
They followed what I did, and at 6 years old, I was like, oh, that's what this whole thing is about.
When you stand up here.
Yeah, they pay attention to you.
Oh,
I see.
Awesome. That's awesome.
Where did you go to high school?
I went to the Orange County High School of the Arts.
Oh, you did? Because I went to Modern Day.
I was going to go to Bosco, St. Mm-hmm. John Bosco, mm-hmm. like my brother did. Mm-hmm. But once I was accepted into OSHA, I decided to go there instead.
Good for you. Well, you were probably a year or two ahead of me at St. Maria.
Yeah, probably. I think.
So, Chad, one of the things Joel mentioned earlier was that you're one of the few people, or the only person, who is involved in this in a workshop capacity, the mm-hmm. show that we're talking about, Serrano. What are some of the changes that you've observed in your journey of the morphing of the show? Has it made a lot of changes? Has it been pretty much the same thing, aside from what the individual actors brought to it? Textually, has it changed?
Let me start by saying that I'm such a lucky actor to get to work with the creative team that is doing this. It's been a really enormous learning experience to work with Joel and Madeline, the book writer and lyricist. And the changes are numerous. They're uncountable. Wow. The soul of the piece was always there. Right. And the love and texture of the piece was always there. And the humor, my God, it's so funny. Right. But one of the greatest things that I've learned is how not to be married to your art. Okay. Because we will do something on stage. It will tank. Joel will very clearly tell us that it tanked. And then he will yell at Maddie, who's sitting 10 feet away, say, Maddie, we need a new line! 30 seconds later.
She's got a line
that's 100 times funnier than what we just did that tanked. Yep. We did a rehearsal, and she had this line for a man, and it was horrible.
You're becoming such a paisan. Do you know that? You're just like, we had this line. It was this thing.
Terrible.
It was beautiful.
It was horrible. he goes, Maddie, we need a new line. She comes over 30 seconds later. She goes, he should say yes. The guy says yes. The whole room bursts out into laughter because he said yes. That's it. Yeah. It was such a easy fix, and it's so the art of
it's economy of it's comic comedy. Economy yeah.
Well, also it's rewriting with a television background. You learn that 90% of success is in the rewrite, not in the write.
Neil Simon says that 90% of writing is rewriting.
That's exactly right. And those who believe in that, who live with the process, who go, what is that, why isn't that working, what can I do better, mm-hmm. Maddie lives there, and she does, and she's exceptionally fast, and that's TV training.
Writing is putting the, because I write myself, writing is putting the clay on the table. Rewriting is shaping it into something.
Big time. Yes, absolutely.
And that's
right.
There's been a million changes. The song changes, story changes. But like Joel said, one of the other things is that we discovered, like Quincy Jones says, the jelly is in the bromance of what happens between Vinny and Serrano.
Yeah.
That really, that's where the soul of the piece comes alive. And that's what people are walking away with as we hear.
Right.
That it's not, it's laugh out loud, pee your pants, your stomach hurts, funny. But it has a soul. And it really has that texture of you feel like...
It's not a convection. It's a confection, rather.
No. It really has a soul.
You really care, which is a remarkable thing. Yeah. That was the big fight. That was a tonal fight that I was hoping that I could control. And how do you go from raucous comedy to big, big, fabulous dance and song numbers, and then all of a sudden make heart work? Mm-hmm. How does that happen? How does that evolve? And we pulled it off, and I wish I could say I knew how the hell we pulled it off, but I know we pulled it off, and I think it's because the actors basically commit to every moment that's existing. Yeah. They don't think about it as short-shrifting this or short-shrifting that or getting to the joke here. Mm-hmm. They're playing it moment to moment, and it was there.
Yeah.
But it was just these actors took the time to find the relationships and the humanity. The wonderful scene where you say goodbye to Serrano at the end of the thing, I mean, that has grown immeasurably. I don't know if a single word has changed over the years, but just the amount of emotional investment that the audience makes in that scene where you say goodbye to Serrano just blows me out.
It's a payoff scene at the end. There's a big surprise at the end of the thing, and it's really, really funny. But if the audience wasn't on board with that relationship for the whole 2 hours of the play, that scene would not be funny.
Now, was this a choice? Is Tim Martin Gleason the other actor? Is the name of the other actor? Is this a choice that you and he made consciously? Did you discuss this? Did it just grow out of rehearsals? Did you just discover all of a sudden that this deeply threaded backstory or this bromance had developed, had just sort of happened? Or is it something you guys discussed as actors?
I tend to, as an actor, not discuss anything with my fellow actors. Yeah. I don't like to let them know what I'm doing or why I'm doing it.
Because you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Because
I just wait for Joel to tell me how I feel. I'm just kidding. So, no, it's just something that develops, and it's like wading into water. You just go and you find, what starts to feel right.
How much, because you're Vinny, I mean, his Vinny is spectacular. How much of what I saw on Saturday night evolved through this process?
Oh, boy. I was laying in bed thinking about that the other day, of how many moments we have created spontaneously that aren't in the script that then get sort of worked into the process, because I've been with this show for 4 years through 7 different workshops, and there's a lot of stuff that has been a major collaboration that the creative team has put their trust in me. And sometimes there's a big joke at the very end of the play. It's the emotional climax of the play. Something terrible has happened to a character in the play, and I have a line that I love, and the writer loves it, and Joel doesn't like it. And they cut it for 2 shows. And I said, Joel, let us fight for this line. Let us fight for it. No, it doesn't work. It doesn't. Joel, come on. We know it works. It works. And then finally, we figured out through Joel's guidance a way that it really, really works at the end of the play. I'm talking in ambivalences now. But basically, they have a lot of trust in each other, Joel and Maddie and the producers and the creative team, and they have a lot of trust in their actors. And so the fact that we're able to contribute to that is really wonderful.
All of these actors, and Chad in particular, I mean, to be as good as you are at what you do.
Thank you.
And Valerie Perry and Tim.
Yeah, enormous.
All of them.
Enormous.
And Barry Pearl.
Barry Pearl. Mm-hmm.
It's such a cast, right? They know where their strengths are as an actor. This man knows how to pull his real life and his natural innate charm into this role to make it work the way that it works as another character. Mm-hmm. And that's hard to do. Not everybody has that has that understanding. But in this cast, I think every single person has this.
I agree with you. They came in with their own things that made them special, and we allowed that to happen. They were cast for that specialness. They were cast because they brought something that I thought was going to add to this package. And it's lovely to watch them grow, But with Vinny, my thing with Vinny was basically, with Chad here, was that here was a guy who had pretty much done the same kind of performance through the years as long as the package was the same. Switch Serrano on him, switch Rosanna on him, and it was very interesting to see the enormous growth that his character took in terms of emotional investment in what was going on, you know. That was my goal, because I could see that. I couldn't see that with anybody else, but I could watch Chad work, and I go, oh, wow, look where he's going, where he never went before.
Because you're seeing an actor who's listening. That's the thing.
Very
because
much
you,
so.
You know, there's a lot of actors I've performed with that you could swap out. You could swap out the different partners,
and
it would still be the same thing. So that's what happens when you get an actor who listens and is in the moment, and is usually indicative of a very giving actor, because you know, you get that exchange.
Good training, reacting.
Yeah, very much so. You know, it's funny. You were talking earlier, Joel, about this, and one of the things you said about Mike, you know, the 2,000 moments in a 2-hour show, that you can't micromanage everything like that. But I think one of the byproducts and the benefits of that in hearing this discussed is that also when you get that micromanaging, because I've seen shows that have been like that, you don't have the sense of fun and joy that the actors feel when they're not weighing on every moment, that everything hasn't been perfectly assigned and planted. And Chad, do you find that, you know, the play factor and the ease of performance, is it loose, or is it strict? Because I know with comedy, it's very economical. You can't push too much. But is there a little bit of play?
There's a lot of play, but it's also exactly like you're saying, comedy is a science, right? So you know a lot of times that a certain rhythm or a certain run of words or a certain inflection is going to get you the laugh that you need on line A when you need a bigger laugh on line B, or et cetera. But within that, there is a lot of discovery, especially when you're getting little leaks of laughter here and there, and you know that there's a big laugh. And so all of a sudden you start playing and you start going, okay, I see. I destroyed my co-star the other day. I've been waiting to use this moment of using one of my outrageous costumes. I've been trying to figure out where to put in this little piece of business in a scene, and I finally found a place the other day, and as I found it, he was finished.
Oh, yeah. He was gone.
He was finished.
I have a feeling I know what that
scene was.
He
broke out into laughter.
Well, you know, the fact is that I don't encourage it, but I sure as hell don't discourage it. It's like I said to you earlier that my master's is in commedia dell'arte. Yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah, really? I'm very bright. But at any rate...
Well, that's just it. I have no idea you had a master's.
I had no idea you could read and write.
Hello. But at any rate, so the ability, if something naturally were to happen on stage that the actors enjoy themselves, I couldn't be happier. This piece allows for that kind of thing to occur, because essentially it's a feeling, it's a commedia.
Right.
It's just a commedia to music. But the fact remains that, you know, if I ever thought that they were manufacturing it, I would be unhappy.
Right.
But as long as they're not manufacturing it, and something happens...
So long as it's growing organically...
Listen, on the Carol Burnett show, we watched Tim constantly break up...
Oh, yeah, the bit with the elephant, the Siamese elephants?
Can't do it. He couldn't stand it. He couldn't handle them. Yeah. You know, so that's a part of theater that works for me. And if these guys find a moment naturally that makes that happen, I'm happy. I think it's great.
No, it sounds
It's interesting because, you know, doing the show so many times, the first time we did it, we were sitting at chairs with scripts. And people were buckled over in laughter. And then the next time we did it, Joel said, okay, we're going to stand up and we're going to do it. He's going to add a little music, a little choreography. And I was like, uh-oh, I don't know if people are going to think it's funny if we're on our feet. And they, again, kills. Then we go and we're going to have a big thing, and it's going to have some lights, but still scripts in hands. And I'm like, no, this is going to be too much for this show to carry. It's not the next thing we're doing without scripts, band, set, da-da-da-da-da in New York. And I'm like, yeah, nobody's going to laugh at this anymore. The show can't carry this. Not that I don't love the show, but it has this home-baked quality where you feel like you're looking at something – you feel that you know these people. They're your friends, and you've been invited to this little secret
event. Except that this one now blows people away, but the fact still remains that if it becomes pretentious, it dies.
No, it can't be.
We understand
big.
That. Yeah. We understand
It has
that.
This really sort of special, secret, homemade family quality.
The kind of show that people find.
Yes.
Yeah. They find it.
Right.
You find it and you tell people you have to. It's a little thing that you can share. And then when that little thing gets shared and shared, it becomes things like My Big Fat Greek Wedding.
That's exactly what it's like. Yeah. It's same thing.
Yeah. Same process with My Big
Fat
Greek Wedding.
Because I remember seeing Nia do that, you know, in the 99th season.
Oh, you saw the one woman show.
We have mutual friends from our Chicago days.
I know
her husband Ian very well.
Ian puts me away.
Yeah.
He's one funny dude.
He's phenomenal. We're going to go into our final five. We've got to ask
these
two. I was
just going to do this.
But would you do it, Michael?
Absolutely. For Serrano, the musical, ladies and gentlemen, this is something that we're not suggesting that you see. We're telling you to go and see it and get away from your television set and put that remote control down. Get in your car.
And we know people.
We'll
come to your house. Make sure.
Book and lyrics by Madeline Sunshine. Brilliant. Music by Robert Tepper, musical direction arrangement by Jeff Rizzo, choreography by the wonderful Peggy Hickey from Broadway's A Gentleman's Guide to Murder, directed by this man in our studio today, Joel Zwick. It's already in progress, and it runs through March 29th, and it plays Friday through Sunday, March 29th.
Thursday.
I see that up here. Forgive me. Mm-hmm. Thursday through Sunday. And it is also a Sunday matinee at 3 p.m. Tickets, as Paul said earlier in the show, $34.99. Can't beat that. And you simply go online to serranothemusical.com or you call 323-960-7774, which is plays 411.
That's all I got. I don't have an Italian expression of joy, so I just went Southern. That's all I got. All right, it's that time, folks. We got 5 minutes left. Gentlemen, we have to ask you for your tale of woe or
your
something
baptismal.
You observed, something that happened to you. We can start with you, Joel. You had a performance mishap, something that happened either in film or television or theater or whatever.
Yeah. In TV, you don't get too many mishaps because you just do a retake. Same thing in film. In theater, however, there are no retakes. I do remember this event. We were playing Dance With Me at the Mayfair Theater, which was, I think, the theater that Billy Rose created for, Billy Rose's Fanny Bryce or something like that. And it was a 500-seat theater. It was the smallest Broadway house in New York. And we had an orchestra. We had a band, but the band was on stage, so there was no pit. That's important to understand. Well, I just got nominated for a Tony for choreography, and
what show?
For a thing called Dance With Me, 1975-76. I got beaten by Faison of the Wiz that particular year, but nonetheless. So I went into that next. Things telling the cast, I want you to go out there tonight and I want you to dance like you've never danced before. And these guys there wasn't a dancer in the group. They had no idea what I was talking to them about. But I'm also in the cast, you gotta remember. I'm directing, choreographing, and playing the third lead in this show. So the opening numbers to Carol King, we'll talk about Carol in a second, The Locomotion. And we're all in a train and we're chugging downstage. And I'm a leader. And I chugged right off the front of the stage because I was so driven by the fact that I was going to dance my way into the record books. But the funny thing was that I hit the floor. I did a 180-degree spin, came up, and chugged upstage with the rest of the cast.
Oh, my God.
Well, they couldn't look at me for the rest of the show.
No.
Because I looked like Wile E. Coyote. I just, like, this thing dropped off the stage, bounced up, and came upstage with him chugging. But so that was it. But the quick Carole King thing is I dated Carole in high school. I was in her first rock and roll group. One of my greatest thrills in my life is to have had a friend who became Carole King. How cool is that?
You've got a friend.
How cool is that?
My favorite songwriter.
Oh.
Yeah. Pretty good songwriter.
One of the greatest of the Tin Pan Alleys.
Chad Doric.
Go, Chad.
Oh, boy. There's so many.
Just pick
choose.
One.
Choose. Okay.
You dated Carole King?
I dated Carole King. I wish.
Yeah. She would have liked you a lot.
I was 14, I had just joined this famous show choir called the Young Americans, and we were doing our presentation show where they tried out all the, they call them new kids. And so there's the audience, a couple thousand people in the audience, and they're going to show all the new kids off to all the old people, old kids rather. And I got a big solo. I was so excited. And it was When You Wish Upon a Star. And they had this gorgeous ballerina behind me, and she was dancing on point and blah, blah, blah. And I said, when you wish upon a star. The audience burst into laughter. Oh.
Sounded like Jiminy Cricket.
Oh, oh my man. God.
Or
it
Peter
was
Brady.
So embarrassing.
Or Peter Brady.
Yes. It was
the
so
clunker.
Embarrassing. And it's one of those things that you can just never forget. And the poor ballerina got, you know, her whole moment was ruined because.
Yeah.
Puberty had upstaged her.
Puberty.
Upstaged
puberty.
By puberty.
That'll get it done every time.
That's right.
And the more the thing is, and the more you sell it, the bigger that croak
is. Oh, yeah,
that
yeah,
that break
yeah.
is just, oh. Oh, gentlemen, what a joy having both of you
absolutely.
On here. Really enjoyed
100%.
It.
Thank you.
We were talking Serrano the Musical, and you should go see it, as Michael said. SerranoTheMusical.com is the website, and tickets 323-960-7774. Plays Thursday through Sunday at the Matrix Theater in West Hollywood. So I'm looking forward to seeing it myself.
Must. You must.
Gentlemen, thank you both.
Thank you. Appreciate
having
you. Pleasure. Yes.
Michael, as always.
Yes. See you on the radio, Paul.
You're listening to State of the Arts with Michael Sterling and Paul Strohle right here on LA Talk Radio.